We're starting a show now called The Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. Every week, through interviews with thought leaders, visionaries and creatives, and stories, music and humor, we'll do some deep ponders in this time of great change, and have some fun. If you'd like more information about today's guests, or to be interviewed for the show yourself, I'm at mysticpete.com. We start today's show with a story by the extraordinary Mike Bone called Georgia Travelogue. Then music by Drew Stiles and Blevolent. Then I go on an extended free will rant. And then music by Velvet 100. Stay tuned!
Georgia Travelogue, November 2019, pre-pandemic. When I travel to Georgia, I travel heavy. I go to the limit in luggage, check bags, and carry-ons. When I got to Atlanta, loaded my luggage onto a cart and headed to the car rental area, I was asked by a fellow traveler, "Are you rebuilding a house?" My answer was yes. I am rebuilding a 1970 Norfolk and Western train caboose. In essence, a tiny house. Most of the stuff I had packed was going into the caboose. I took the back roads to Macon. You see things in Georgia that you don't see in Los Angeles. In one little town, there was a big sign promoting their Chitlin Carnival. For those of you that are unaware, chitlins are the intestines of a pig that are fried. Another town had a huge store called Lolo's Cigarette Outlet, the original cigarette outlet. This place was like Costco for tobacco products, cigarettes, cigars, chewing tobacco, snuff, all sorts of stuff like that. Lots of cotton. It's like a blizzard in some places. Some in the fields waiting to be picked, some already picked and now stored in huge plastic covered blocks as big as a small house, waiting for transportation to the cotton gin for processing. In 2019, you saw a lot of Trump 2020 signs and banners. I had lunch at Tucker's Barbecue in Macon with some old friends. Tucker's has been selling barbecue since 1946 in the same location, in the same building, with the same booths. Tommy Tucker joined his dad in the enterprise after graduating from high school June the 6th, 1967, and doing a stint in the Army. Tommy has forgotten more about barbecue than Roy Choi will ever know. I arrived at my cousin Wayne and Lynn's farm in Butler around 6 p.m. Wayne is a U.S. Marine combat veteran. He retired from Flint Electric after 43 years as a lineman. Lynn is a retired Macon County deputy sheriff. Her uniform and Glock 9 are still in her closet, just in case. Wednesday was a day of planting. Wayne and I planted over 100 yards of daffodil bulbs along the only paved road that borders the farm. My goal is to have travelers along Route 127 go, wow, when they travel by the farm. The good news is that we planted a lot of bulbs. The bad news is that we have a lot of open area yet to be planted. Cousin Derek showed up with his Atlas paint crew to start work on the interior of the caboose. They removed everything inside and power washed the entire interior and then set up a huge fan as a dryer for 2 days. Wayne and I spent Thursday morning separating the female goats ready for breeding and putting them into the pasture with the herd buck, Peter Rabbit. Peter has been alone in his pasture for the last 10 months. Needless to say, the introduction of 25 ladies that were looking for love was an exciting event for him. He grunted and snorted and blubbered and grinned and noodled with the ladies in anticipation of doing his job. The lunch versus dinner debate. Dinner in the South is the midday meal. Supper is the evening meal. There is no lunch. After a morning of chasing goats, we went to Yoder's Mennonite restaurant in Montezuma for dinner. The Mennonites are an offshoot of the Amish faith. They live a simple life, but with modern things like electricity, automobiles, and tractors, they refer to themselves as the Plain People. Yoder's restaurant is located out of town in a large pasture. The food there is simple, varied, and good. The buffet table goes far beyond the normal southern meat and three. It's all dished up with young Mennonite women dressed in homemade gray dresses with white blouses. Their hair is pulled back into a bun that is covered with a small white bonnet. There is no makeup or jewelry. Their pleasant demeanor and smile is wonderful. Sweet tea, the table wine of the South, is replenished by these young ladies as fast as you can drink it. You exit the restaurant through a bake shop with a myriad of cakes, pies, sticky buns, homemade jellies, and jams. It's a diabetic's nightmare. Wayne is a goat herder. He has a large herd of goats, and it's getting bigger every year, so it's now too big. It was time for some of the goats to be sold. We loaded up the goats onto a livestock trailer and took them to the goat auction. If you've never been to a goat auction, should you ever have the opportunity, I suggest you attend, not just for the agricultural aspect, but for the sociological experience. The regular customers at the goat auction are a slice of American society that most Los Angelinos do not even realize exist. Yet, here they are, about 250 of them, not one latte drinker in the entire group. Nicotine and insulin seems to be the drug of choice among them. I brought my new Carhartt overalls and Wolverine boots so that I would fit in with the auction crowd. I was way overdressed. There were 200 goats for sale, some purebred Kiko and Boer goats, mostly mixed breed. The colloquial for billies is for males, nannies for females, and withers for neutered males. On Friday, work on the caboose is proceeding. The interior was sanded and primed. It's looking good now. Friday night, we drove to Thomaston, Georgia to eat catfish at River Bend Restaurant. It's located on a bluff above a bend in the Chattahoochee River, hence the name. Fried catfish, French fries, hush puppies, sort of a fried cornbread, all washed down with gallons of, what else, sweet tea. The low wood paneling in the dining room was decorated with taxidermy of large bass fish and deer's heads. It was like eating in a hunting lodge. Deer are very much in evidence on the drive home. You see them grazing by the edge of the road. The trick is to make sure they stay by the edge of the road and do not jump into the road. This happens a lot. As beautiful as they are, deer are just not that bright. Saturday. The first coat of finish paint is put on into the caboose. It is looking really good now. Sunday, I set my alarm for 5:30 a.m. I drove to Atlanta and flew back to Los Angeles. I haven't been back to Georgia since the pandemic. I sure do miss it.
Been like I took out for so long, and now I do. That girl is you. They say that purity sees pureness, and I see you. I see you. There's nothing I can do. I like you, you, you. There's nothing you can do. So hard to trust another, and now I do. I trust you. Instead of waiting to be chosen, I chose you. The girl is you. There's nothing I can do. I like you, you, you. And there's nothing you can do. I like you. You're always there for others. I've been to. Now we get to get each other. You choose to. Yeah, I like you. The girl is you. Yeah, I like you. The silly things we take for granted, like me and you.
Free will. Earth is a free will school. In the spiritual realms, which we can call heaven, there is absolute free will. Spirits do exactly what they want. The way to recreate heaven down here is to enable free will. If there were a perfect person, religion, or book that could tell us right from wrong, and all we had to do was obey, one might get points for following directions, just as a dog is praised for obeying commands. But those with wisdom can discern right from wrong, not merely do as they're told. Being obedient does not develop moral discernment. Free will does. Choosing for ourselves leads us to our inner compass, and God points the needle of that compass. By freely making wrong choices and suffering through the painful consequences, we learn to make the right choices and thereby slowly align in the direction the needle is pointing. Until now, natural selection was the mechanism of evolution. Natural selection works great if you have eons of time and want to evolve in physical form. But natural selection doesn't work once a species acquires advanced technology. Medicine overcomes survival of the fittest. Actually, a good thing, since almost anyone can now reproduce, not just the fittest. However, we will no longer physically evolve the way animals do. We may, in fact, be physically devolving. A far more important type of evolution is happening, which is unconcerned with who is the most physically fit. The evolution of awareness. This is done not by natural selection, but by what I call intentional selection. Humans evolve by intentionally selecting to do so. We choose to become conscious, or it doesn't happen. Without the mechanism of free will, which allows us to choose, we couldn't evolve past animal consciousness. Humanity is a free will experiment. We make mistakes and do bad things, which causes us to suffer. Then the resulting pain shows us that we must face our wrongdoing, make amends, learn, and evolve. Moreover, we make mistakes when we choose not to follow our inner guidance. We are blessed when we heed those intuitive whispers pointing us to grace and compassion, what I earlier referred to as our inner compass. Karma is the experience of cause and effect that teaches us the consequence of following or not following our inner guidance. Those lessons can only be learned if we have free will to follow that guidance or not. Those whispers come from heaven, the very direction of our evolution. Karma directs us to heaven. Apparently, were even allowed to make mistakes in huge, unconscionable ways, which create Mandu negative karma called Karmageddon. Is it a cosmic error that a Holocaust occurs every few years? How could a loving God have drawn that kind of abomination into the architecture of this world? Perhaps God made a mistake. One might question whether it was actually God that created all the violence and cruelty that we witness on the planet Earth. However, if viewed from a historical perspective, we can see that human barbarity is a remnant of the foot or hoof we still have in the animal kingdom. We're still half beast. The question is not whether we are haters, liars, perverts, and killers. It's what we're going to do about it. While God does not begrudge us our animal nature as he and or she designed it and understands evolution takes time, we've got to just say no to depravity. Since God, the all-knowing totality of consciousness, or to simplify, our very own higher self, has created this free will experiment. Whenever you enable free will, either yours or others, God exalts. When you interfere with a person's free will, you interfere with God. Not a bright move. People must choose for themselves. You may inform and discuss, but the use of coercion or deception goes against God. Free will can only be exercised intelligently if one is fully informed. Lack of information or misinformation interferes with the individual's ability to choose well. Is it deception or mere puffery? A statement that everyone knows is exaggerated. When a young, pretty woman tells a rich, repellent lowlife, "You are the most handsome man in the world. Marry me." What about white lies, which are intended to spare feelings or get someone out of danger? And when does truth become untruthful because information has been omitted, intentionally or not? Our society is rife with deceit. Social media fear parasites scare the naive in order to sell them coaching courses, silly spiritual regimens, and quack medicines. Extremist mainstream media generates big advertising dollars by frightening those uneasy with change, who just want to return to the good old days. You know, when white men were in charge, women knew their place, and we didn't have to constantly be concerned about the rights of minorities and the non-binaries. The entire advertising industry is largely based on dishonesty. They compromise our free will to make informed choices every time they present imagery that does not state the whole truth and nothing but. Although you may find this shocking, it is my duty to inform you that drinking soda will not get you dates with attractive people. Using a $125 an ounce facial cream will not make you look younger. Advertisers even try to manipulate us with duplicitous names. What part of the chemical called NutraSweet is the slightest bit nutritious? While the advertising industry tries to grab market share, will the products they're pushing actually help you at all? Is it too much to ask that they at least not damage us? While modern ideas of liberty originated in Europe, the founding fathers are to be commended for making the United States the first true democracy based on laws protecting freedom of speech. The Bill of Rights sides with free will by providing for a free press, protecting the rights of dissenters and the accused, and separating church and state so that religions not in power don't get attacked by the government, making the Bill of Rights almost a scripture. Although still rough around the edges, democracy has accomplished the spiritual objective of reflecting here on earth the equality found in heaven. Rights and powers once reserved for one single person, the monarch, are at present enjoyed by the many. Formerly, we were subjects, subject to the whims of a king who alone was allowed to speak freely. All land belonged to the crown. We are now each sovereigns with rights to call this reality home because we can individually own property and freely speak our truth. In the next phase, we will remedy the problems of democracy. Consensus. Speaking truth is like ringing a bell that parts the clouds. When you're forthright and honest, enabling others to make informed decisions, the angels smile upon you. When truth is married to social aptitude, being nothing but courteous, it sounds like music. The world stops and listens. Truth becomes art. And the more your words describe reality, the more reality will describe your words. Here lies the real power of speaking truth. Words of a truth teller come true. We train animals by compelling them to follow our commands. Sometimes that training is cruel, done with scolds and whips. Other times it's kind, with a pat on the head and a lump of sugar. Up until now, humans have behaved like animals. We have favored comfort and self-interest over selflessness and change, just as any animal would. The law we follow is the law of the jungle. Might makes right. Life could not have evolved any other way. If a tiger worried about hurting others' feelings, it just wouldn't feel right about ripping open a gazelle's neck. The tiger would starve to death. A cuckoo bird tricks another bird into raising its brood by laying eggs in the other bird's nest. If the cuckoo suddenly felt ashamed of its underhanded mendacity and refused to participate in such dreadful treachery, the species would go extinct. From this bird we get the term cuckold, a man whose wife committed adultery, or who is unknowingly raising another man's child. Selfishness, deception, and violence are spiritually permissible if one is living life as an animal. Because we still behave like animals, God treats us like animals. The methods are sometimes cruel and sometimes kind. Despite our free will, God has an agenda for us, and that is to adopt superior values. Remember, God is our higher self. The all-loving higher self will teach the slow-witted, animalistic lower self to to be all loving by hook or by crook. When we, meaning the lower self, the animal part, take the reins of our personal growth into our own hands and deliberately seek to evolve, instead of only doing it when it's forced, we will have passed a spiritual milestone. When we start behaving like angels with conscience, leaving behind the law of the jungle, our higher selves will no longer flog us into obedience like unruly savages. You've probably had enough of that kind of all-loving anyway. Our lower self doesn't need to eliminate animal consciousness. Just add in angel, like a horse growing wings to become Pegasus. When you take the initiative to clean up the chaos in your life and act with compassion, like any self-respecting heavenly being would, you will no longer need Daddy, Mommy, God to discipline you. You will discover that trouble stops showing up uninvited. Similarly, the faster humanity crawls out of its sexually and emotionally immature larval phase, the less apocalyptical God will have to get on our behinds. You've heard people say that some disaster they suffered was actually a blessing. Sickness, injury, and misfortune are often the higher self's ways of getting your attention so you stop and pay mind to heaven's guidance. Then you can hear the sacred whispers inside. If this inner transmission is voluntarily sought out to the depth that the higher self requests, there may no longer be cause for personal catastrophe. The trend is, people who listen to their inner guidance may still go through difficulties, but their lives don't play like a Shakespearean tragedy. There are exceptions to unlimited free will. We are permitted and required to make choices for those who can't fend for themselves. We do this for the mentally disabled, and of course for children. We're allowed to interfere with their free will, but only to ensure their health and well-being. Nothing more. All of these people should make their own choices to the greatest extent they're capable of choosing sensibly. Children will often seek our advice if delivered without judgment or expectation. They stop listening to it when imposed. You can start their choice training early when you ask them, "Do you want the red grapes or the green grapes?" And, "Do you want to deal with the bully yourself, or would you like my help?" More importantly, this trains you to respect their opinion. Another exception to unlimited free will has to do with crime and abuse. When a person interferes with the free will of another, we're permitted to take away the free will of the offender, but only to the extent necessary to stop the violation and enforce restitution. It's not only our right, but our responsibility to lawfully stop violators. We're accountable if we turn a blind eye. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "To ignore evil is to become an accomplice to it." Albert Einstein said, "The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything." With reasonable measures, we can limit free will to prevent people from committing crime say, by having police enforce just laws. We can put walls around the places money is stored, commonly known as banks, so people can't just walk away with other people's property, which would interfere with the money owner's free will to control their possessions. We can compel criminals to make payments for restitution, and as a last resort, even put them behind bars. Dangerous convicts may be incarcerated so that others can live in a safe environment. But we may not punish. We can right a wrong, but not wrong a wrong. Our current justice system is an international shame, or rather a planetary shame. In 100 years, we will look back in horror and disbelief at the vast numbers we imprison under inhumane conditions, many for minor offenses. Encroachment on free will is largely sanctioned by society in the areas of sex and drugs because they are dangerous and fun. Perhaps they're fun because they're dangerous. The heavens dictate that people be free to make their own narcotic and erotic choices, particularly as they approach adulthood. Taking away anyone's right to choose always backfires. Highly punitive drug laws have created massive criminal organizations as a side effect. Because of our war on drugs, the country of Mexico is overwhelmed with corruption and violence that is now threatening the U.S. Hey, what's a little narco-terrorism between friends? If drugs had not been criminalized, Mexico would likely be a stable, thriving nation. All analyses of the bazillion-dollar war on drugs show it to be a complete failure and a complete waste of money. Those dollars would have gone to better use at Burning Man, where they'd have made a pretty sight in the desert night sky, going up in flames. Once drugs are legalized, doing away with the primary source of income for heavily armed cartels, those underworld organizations will be looking for other ways to make money. The same thing happened in the 1920s. With the outlawing of alcohol, the mafia rose to enormous power. When alcohol was legalized, their terror and corruption spread. My crystal ball shows extortion in our future. Extortion works like this. Nice veggie burger stand. Give me $500 a week from your profits, or I'll kidnap your children. We've created a nightmare by taking away people's free will. Once free will is returned, it's not easy to wake up from the nightmare. In the larger picture, society altogether is moving us in the direction of free will. 100 years ago, you would have likely married the person your parents chose. They probably would have chosen your profession too. You didn't want to be a mule skinner? Too bad. Now, important decisions are increasingly made by the individual, not the family or tribe. Standing up for free will, both yours and others, is a courageous act because there are constant abuses against the vulnerable and attacks on their defenders. But let me be quick to add that Moses, Jesus, Gandhi, and Martin Luther King Jr. came from modest backgrounds, but in standing up for the defenseless, became the most courageous of men. When you put yourself on the line for someone else, you receive a spiritual blessing that you cannot get from years of practicing gratitude, doing yoga, or wearing Birkenstocks. Of course, be grateful and do yoga. I don't know about the Birkenstocks. But the bedrock of spiritual advancement is standing up for the free will of others as modeled by such great spiritual and political exemplars as the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh and the Tibetan Rinpoche, the Dalai Lama. In this time of a pandemic, when individual choice can result in deadly consequences for others, we must also bear in mind that free will must be tempered when it comes to community well-being. We are not allowed to drive drunk or shoot off machine guns at large sporting events because that's what I feel like doing, and dang it, no one is going to interfere with my free will. Well, yes, when your behavior subjects others to danger, it's rightful for the community to infringe on your choices, just like it's rightful for the community to limit the choices of a murderer who merely wants to murder other people. If you're resisting sensible health precautions that slow the spread of a communicable disease because it limits your freedoms, stop being a spoiled brat and think of the needs of others. God knows this is an arduous reality and wants us to succeed. But she normally doesn't directly meddle in our lives because that would interfere with our free will and go against the system he designed. God acts within the parameters of the reality that she set up. However, a past life good deed could be coming due, or a karmic credit card may not be maxed out, so occasionally we get treated to a driblet of divine intervention. Yet it's foolish to expect it. The miraculous is the exception. Don't expect a miracle. To plead for special treatment is narcissistic, as if you're exceptional and don't have to put in the work like everyone else does to find sacredness in the ordinary. Work it out through the system. It is constructed this way for a reason. Don't look for the skies to part to see God. See God in your morning donut, baptized in coffee. Fairy tales suggest that mythical beings sometimes appear bodily and come to our aid. Surprise! This doesn't really happen. Still believe in Santa Claus? Have you ever seen a measly unicorn? Sorry to bum your fairy tales and leave you grim, but God seeks to inspire us with the commonplace, if for no other reason than to remind us that all of this is sacred creation. To expect supernatural solutions is silly. God doesn't break the rules of everyday life. Once in a while, a poltergeist, literally noisy spirit, might knock on the wall or turn on a light, likely scaring the bejesus out of you. God forbid you met a real leprechaun in the woods. Your hair would turn white. Humans scare easily. Don't make any sudden movements when you're around them. The rules are: spiritual leadership comes in human form. If God wants to help us beyond her ever-present whispered guidance, God coordinates the incarnation of a spiritual teacher as a human before virtual reality and the blockbuster movie appropriated this word. An avatar was a spiritual grandmaster. Who knows if an avatar is currently on Earth? The incarnation of an avatar can be a great sacrifice for that being. By nature, a prophet who declares God's truth is radical and will piss off the authorities and antagonize the religions. who will then initiate procedure C-103 sub A, character assassination followed by a bullet to the head. Avatars don't receive a warm, fuzzy welcome. We should not even seek to find such a being to lead us out of our self-created mess. This age calls for individual empowerment, not playing follow the leader. Start a non-profit. Further, few people could identify an avatar. If Moses, Jesus, and Buddha walked into a bar, light streaming out of their heads, there might be a wise crack about their sandals, but no kissing of feet. No one would recognize them. We have eyes only for primate fixations, pretty faces, big muscles, and glittery trinkets. Too often we choose spiritual teachers by the size of their turban, not the size of their heart. We can hardly see God, even though He is in plain sight, not because we can't, but because we are otherwise preoccupied. However, one can identify false prophets because they talk about the one and only right way to God, which is, of course, their way. They're just trying to sell their own brand. The Great Spirit has loved this world for billions of years and supported our evolution the whole time. God understands that we are precariously balanced between apotheosis and annihilation. He or she or they do not want to see the extraordinary occurrence of humanity destroyed. The archangels are diligently working from their end to help us in the coming transformation, strumming their harps as fast as they can. But we have to face the consequences of our free will. If that means Earth goes down in flames and humanity learns some kind of ultimate painful lesson, that will be the sad truth. Nobody will swoop down and save us if the Earth is about to go kablooey. Not angels, not extraterrestrials, not messiahs. The rules of planet Earth will not be broken. Free will not be violated, even to save planet Earth. If we fail, we bear full responsibility. If we prevail, it will mean we dug deep, worked hard, and earned it. The largesse people have shown in times of trouble gives me hope, but that may mean we have to go through hell to get to heaven. And if we fail, it is not the end. Although losing this charmed world would be an unfathomably grievous occasion. There will be other chances on other worlds, even if we have to start over again, as slime mold. We are coming to the end of the show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and mysticpete on social media. We started today's show with a story by the extraordinary Mike Bone called Georgia Travelogue. Then music by Drew Stiles, The Girl's You, and Belevolent, Inspiration. Then my extended free will rant. And just heard a couple of tunes by Velvet 100 called Summer Lo-Fi and Driving Monaco. Thank you so much for listening. Mystic Pete out. Ooh.